If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
You know, I feel good. I always can get better. But, you know, I know myself. I know how usually it goes. You know, if I'm healthy, things are going to be okay.
The head coach.
You know, offensively, I think, you know, we make a few more shots. Could be dangerous.
And the fans.
You got a guy in Giannis. He's just, like, the most likable human being, and all the other people fall in line with that. Everybody kind of takes it after him. And it's really positive to see that be the team that we give.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Now, here's your host, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in. The Bucks come up on the losing end tonight to the Houston Rockets on ABC. And, of course, on Fox Sports Wisconsin. As well, they lose 120 to 116 to the Rockets. Want to hear from you tonight after that one. Not sure how you can have a playoff feel in a bubble without fans. But the intensity between both of these teams felt like it was ratcheted up a little bit tonight, from my perspective at least. Kind of felt like Harden had his guys ready to roll, because remember, Harden and the Rockets had never beaten a Bucks team coached by Mike Budenholzer. Never had happened. Nope, never had happened until tonight. So I think he wanted it. I think he wanted it because he thinks he should have won the MVP award last year. Another reason that probably Harden wanted it. I think Giannis wanted it because Giannis is sick and tired of probably listening to Harden jabber his jaws about how he should have been the MVP and taking shots at Giannis all the time, and then Giannis having to talk about it in press conferences in Milwaukee. So I think it was ratcheted up a little bit between these two teams. But what I think you have seen in this game was just how important having an Eric Bledsoe truly, truly is when you face a Houston Rockets team like this. I think from that perspective, it probably opened up everybody's eyes a little bit. Let's go inside the box.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. On the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. And see what your favorite players did in today's game. Presented by Otto's Wine and Spirits. Locally owned, offering the widest selection of beer, wine, and liquor with everyday low prices at their 7 Milwaukee locations. Otto'sWineAndSpirits.com.
We'll have City Moncrief joining the show in just a little bit. We'll also have Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He'll join us as well. And of course, your calls. Want to hear what you thought of tonight's game. Those of you that have hated on Chris Middleton, realize he missed a shot or two there at the end, but Chris Middleton is a big reason why this team was still in it. Would love to hear from you tonight and your thoughts on Chris Middleton's play. And then Giannis had a huge game and a stupid pass at the end of the game, caught in the air, tried to make a throw to Kyle Korver, and ended up turning it over. And really, turnovers were the theme of the night for Milwaukee. 15 first-half turnovers just killed this Bucks team as we go inside the Bucks score. Giannis plays 33 minutes, 14 of 25 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 36 points, 18 rebounds, 8 assists, a block, and only 3 turnovers. Chris Middleton, 34 minutes, 10 of 18 from the floor, 3 of 8 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line, 27 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, a steal, 6 turnovers for Middleton. Brook Lopez, 31 minutes, 9 of 18 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, 5 of 6 from the line, 23 points, 12 boards, 2 assists, couple of block shots, and 1 turnover for Brook Lopez. A nice night for Brook Lopez for sure. Wesley Matthews, 27 minutes, 1 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 6 from downtown for Wesley Matthews on the night. He had 3 points and 2 rebounds to go along with a couple of turnovers. Dante DiVincenzo, 23 minutes, 4 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 6 from three-point line. That is 2 of 12 from three-point range for your backcourt. That's not going to get it done. 0 of 2 from the free throw line, 9 points, 1 board, 1 assist, couple of steals, 5 turnovers for Dante DiVincenzo. Not a great night. Off the bench tonight, 27 minutes tonight for George Hill, 1 of 3 from the field, 1 of 2 from three-point range, 2 of 2 from the line, 5 points, 5 assists, 4 boards, 1 block, and 3 turnovers in 27 minutes for George Hill. Kyle Korver, 18 minutes, 2 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three-point range, and an assist, a couple of steals, and 5 points. Marvin Williams played 23 minutes tonight, 2 of 5, 0 of 3 from 3. He had 4 points, 9 boards, a block, and 1 turnover in 23 minutes of action. 9 minutes for Sterling Brown, 0 of 1 from the field, had a couple of boards to go along with a steal and a turnover. 7 minutes for DJ Wilson. He missed his only shot, a 3-point attempt in the game. He did have 4 rebounds and no turnovers. Robin Lopez was 1 of 1 from the floor in 4 minutes of action. Ersan Ilyasova, 1 of 1 in 4 minutes of action to go along with 1 rebound and 1 block. Bucks shoot 48.9%, 39.6% for Houston. Bucks shoot 9 of 35 from 3, good for only 25.7%. 21 of 61, that's right. They took 61 3-point attempts. 61 of 91 shot attempts were from 3. You want to talk about a whole different level of shooting threes. 34.4% for the Rockets there. 17 of 23 at the line for the Bucks. 27 of 31 at the line for the Houston Rockets. Rebounds, Bucks kill them on the boards, 65 to 36. 65 rebounds to 36 rebounds. Sheesh. Assists, 22 for Houston, 21 for your Milwaukee Bucks. 15 steals for the Rockets, just 6 for the Bucks. Turnovers, only 9 turnovers for the Houston Rockets. Only 9. Their bench didn't have 1 turnover in the game. Your Milwaukee Bucks had 22 turnovers. So really, you look at it here, 8 free throws attempted difference, 10 made difference at the free throw line, and turnovers, 13 turnover difference in this one, as the Bucks lose 120 to 116 to the Houston Rockets, and which was deemed a home game for the Houston Rockets. Already, tweets coming in tonight. Big Dog 45 tweets, I want to 5-7 FM, the Fan. No issues getting beat, especially by good offensive team, but playing super sloppy, questionable coaching, overall poor play in crunch time. Doesn't sit too well as the playoffs loom. Need missing pieces back ASAP. Hashtag Bledsoe. Agreed. I do remember those of you that like to go after Bledsoe, myself included. Tonight is a night where he has had some success, for sure, guarding James Harden over the course of time. So not having him in there definitely did not help. And Wesley Matthews tried to play to one side to, you know, make sure he couldn't go left earlier in the game, and Harden just went right by him. And then by the end of the game, they were playing him straight up, which now meant Harden could go either way, which created more problems. And at halftime of this game, I had tweeted out, hey, guys, if Middleton played well in the first half, Giannis played well in the first half, Harden did not play well in the first half, Westbrook wasn't anything special, and you're still losing at halftime, that's not a good sign for what's about to happen. Because you just figure that eventually those two guys were probably going to get themselves going. You just had to figure that was going to happen.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, time now to eye up the enemy. here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show as the Bucks come up losers to the Houston Rockets. Don't forget, still to come, we will have the Bucks legend, Sidney Moncrief, will be joining us. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be joining us as well, and looking forward to seeing what they have to say coming up here as we eye up the enemy. Now brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stopping today, lunch and dinner, and buy their fabulous Friday fish fry, now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. And when we look at the Houston Rockets, it all revolves really around the one and only James Harden. Harden tonight, 34 minutes, 5 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 12 from 3, 11 of 13 from the line, 24 points, 7 boards, 7 assists, 6 steals, and 3 turnovers, 31 points for Russell Westbrook on 10 of 21 shooting, 10 of 12 at the line. All 5 starters reached double figures for the Rockets, who beat the Bucks tonight, 120 to 116.
It's time to get the perspective of tonight's game from a Hall of Famer.
I love the city of Milwaukee, the Bucks organization.
A Bucks legend.
It's all about the game, and I'm just blessed to be a part of the great game of basketball.
Sidney Moncrief joins the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Check out their new and certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles off of I-43 North at Silver Spring Drive on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, joining us now, Bucks legend Sidney Moncrief on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good evening. Your thoughts on what you saw tonight between the Bucks and the Rockets?
Hey, Sparky, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. Doing good.
Okay, it was quite a game.
It was
quite a game.
It was.
I love the energy. I love the fact that the Bucks made a run without Giannis on the court. The third quarter, which put the Bucks in a position to at least win the ball game in the fourth quarter. I thought the Rockets' speed, the fact they pushed that ball the first half, made a tremendous difference. Westbrook was a key, I thought, by penetrating, scoring, getting to the foul line, and setting up their three-point shooters. They took 61 three-point shots, made 20, 21 or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just a very unusual game that you can get out-rebounded like the Rockets got out-rebounded.
They got out-rebounded by almost 30, 65 to 36.
That's right. But when you go to the foul line like they did, and when you force turnovers like they did, that makes up. I never put a lot of stock in the rebounding advantage based on history of a team can get out-rebounded and still win the ball game. If they make shots, get to the foul line, and create turnovers, which the Rockets did extremely well tonight.
15 turnovers in the first half did not help the Milwaukee Bucks for certain. The last time you were on after the first game in the bubble, we went back and forth on the third piece of this puzzle for the Bucks, Giannis Middleton, and you throw Brook Lopez in there. I threw Eric Bledsoe in there. Lopez with a nice night tonight. 23 points, 12 boards, couple assists, couple of block shots. You got to be proud of your guy, Brook Lopez. He played well tonight.
He played well, but I think we saw the advantage of athleticism that went to the Rockets at the end of the night. You definitely needed Bledsoe.
There you go. I knew you'd come around. All right.
You needed Bledsoe because of the speed and Pet, the other guy that was out, Pet, was
Connaughton.
Out. And we needed We needed him. We needed a little bit more guys that could get up and down the court that could match Houston's energy. But the Bucks, we were in a position to win that game. I thought Lopez played well. I thought the coach for the Bucks did what I think coaches should do. You stay with your strongest lineup, and that was Brook in the ball game. And just because they were small, you don't match up with a small lineup when you know you have an advantage with your bigger player, which we did tonight with Brook Lopez. We were just not able to protect the basketball the last 2 minutes. And that's when those turnovers, I thought, hurt the Bucks the most. It's down the stretch. Did not protect the ball, did not make shots.
Absolutely. They stall in the half court, what, 3 or 4 times in a row. Giannis gets caught in the air and throws a bad pass to Kyle Korver and turns it over. Talking with Sidney Moncrief here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show on The Fan. The other thing is you're talking about that size. What do you think? Do you think the Rockets can win this thing being as small as they are? Because there's not a lot of believers that think they can.
I don't know. I don't know. They make shots. They make three-point shots. They can. They have some of the best looks tonight of any team that have played against the Bucks. They shot 61 threes, and I would guarantee you probably 60 to 65% were open, makeable shots that they just missed. Yep. So, absolutely, they can play. If that's their best lineup, I'm a believer you play your best lineup, and they did tonight, and they were able to win the ballgame.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, Sid, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you after the next one. An afternoon game on Tuesday.
Okay. Talk to you then.
Sounds good. You betcha. There he is, Sidney Moncrief on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion on growing your home, the Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Nick in Fox Point, you're next on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. What's up, man?
Man, happy to have you back, bro. Love Baby Tausch, but talking Bucks with you, no other person I'd rather talk Bucks with.
Baby Tausch did a great job, man. I miss Baby Tausch. What's up, Nick?
Man, it's hard to be mad at Cash. I'm not a Cash hater. I love Cash. But what we need to see with Bled out, I believe we need to see him have a bigger second half against the Celtics. I think he only had like 4 or 6 points in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he only had 8 or 9 points against Houston tonight. Against them without Bled, when Cash, Brooke, and Bled are all aggressive, I don't believe that there's a team that can beat us. But when he has a great half like he did against Boston and tonight, he just needs to finish those games in the second. That's the only thing I can hold against his head is I think he only had like 8 or 9 points in the second.
See, and it's interesting because when Sidney Moncrief came on after the first game, Moncrief said that he'd been critical of Giannis for not being able to finish games down the stretch in fourth quarters and, you know, have big first three quarters and then not finish games in the fourth. And then Giannis comes out and throws up, 16 in the fourth against the Celtics, and he tipped his cap to Giannis and said that's what he needs to do more of. Right. And now game two, Middleton has a good game, and now you come on and go, well, Middleton needs to finish stronger from your perspective. But realistically, you're both right. Both guys have to show up and hit big shots down the stretch for this team if you're going to win an NBA championship. I think that's fair on both accounts.
And you're 100% correct, and that's where not having Bled really hurts this team right now. So I can't be too upset with it. George Hill and DiVincenzo, they're going to play themselves back to where they were before the layoff. Those guys haven't looked the greatest. But really what I think what we're looking for in the postseason is Coach Bud needs to make these in-game adjustments. You can't let a dude, P.J. Tucker leads the league in corner threes taken and percentage. You can't let him, now tonight he wasn't making them, but you can't let, that's why they're shooting 63s. That's why the Celtics took a lot of threes, because that's the key to beat the Bucks. I want to see what Bud does in the postseason. That's what really got him out of Atlanta was, He wasn't the best in-game adjustment. In the playoffs, he didn't make those adjustments. We saw the struggles last year in Toronto. I'm looking to see what Bud does, in the post when guys are really draining threes. When you look at Miami and the Celtics, those are the teams that no one's talking about that can really hurt us. And I'm looking to see what he does against that. That's what I really want to see.
You know, thanks for the call. And you bring up Budenholzer here. And I don't really want to go after Budenholzer all that much because, as I said before, this whole 8-game stretch started, and I've been saying it, I don't really care all that much one way or the other about wins and losses. I really don't. Now, look, if they would have won tonight, they would have won the first seed or clinched the first seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, okay? Okay, fine. That's what would have happened. They didn't win, so they didn't clinch it. They're going to end up with the one seed, folks. The magic number is one. They're going to win a game between now and the end. So I didn't really care all that much wins and losses. I wasn't going to let myself get worked up about wins and losses. But when you have, again, official 414 was all over it on Twitter earlier, and I retweeted it because I was thinking the exact same thing watching it. When you have Sterling Brown, Korver, Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan, and DJ Wilson on the floor at the same time, when those five are on the floor at the same time, come on. I mean, you could sell me you're trying to win. Yeah, these are important games, so forth. You're going to have a hard time selling anybody you're trying to win when those are your five guys that you're playing on the floor at the same time. With all due respect to all five of them. But you need somebody other than those five on the floor. And I realize that you don't have Bledsoe. So you can't have Bledsoe out there with him because you're a guy short. But you need a score. Who's your score? Sterling Brown? He hasn't looked good in the first two games. Kyle Korver? He's just a shooter. DiVincenzo? He played awful tonight. Not well. Ersan barely played. And DJ Wilson doesn't belong on the floor. So, and I'm sorry to Mayor Mitch. You still on the DJ Wilson fan club bandwagon thing? Are you still rolling with DJ Wilson? It's been a while since I checked in on that.
That's so last year, Sparky.
Oh, I mean, so you've moved on and come to your senses. Good. Well, welcome back. Yeah, welcome back off you know, of that. I mean, good.
He was okay in there tonight. I mean, they kind of threw a little wrinkle at Westbrook and had DJ guard him. And, it slowed him down a little bit, but I didn't think we'd really see him.
I think he more or less stunned Russell Westbrook that they would even put DJ Wilson on. I'm like, come on.
It could be.
What is going on? Am I missing something?
I don't know what's going on with Dante. I mean, that was abysmal tonight. Man, that was bad.
Hey, man, guys have bad games. It's part of it.
That's two thus far, Shooter.
Right, but I'd rather have that now and let him get hot in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, you're going to struggle in these eight regular season games or in the first round of the playoffs? Fine. But when push comes to shove, I need DiVincenzo hitting threes in the Eastern Conference Finals. I need DiVincenzo hitting threes in the NBA Finals. That's when I need that. When we get to that point, I don't need to see Sterling Brown. I don't need to see who else was out there. DJ Wilson. Don't need to see him either. Don't really need to see Ersan. Probably only Korver is going to get play of the five that they're on the floor at the same time. But again, it doesn't really matter that much because you're really not playing for anything. All you're trying to do is get extended run for your guys and get them into shape. That's really all this is about for the Bucks. It's not about anything else. Even though, as I mentioned earlier, the intensity level was up. And I think as a Bucks fan, you were up into this game too. I know I was, because it was Harden and he runs his mouth about Giannis constantly. So for me, it took on a little bit more added importance because of who they were playing. And it probably did for the Bucks, and it probably did for the Rockets. Big Bear tweets at the fan, Dante was awful, looked completely out of it, no timing, sorry, just had to complain about him. That was from Big Bear. I don't agree with you. I mean, I don't disagree with you, I should say. But like I said, guys have bad games, man. Giannis is going to have a bad game eventually. I know he seems immortal at this point, but eventually he's going to have a bad game. He made a bad decision at the end, turning that ball over. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if that would have been Middleton with that turnover at the end? People would have been losing their minds. He cost us the game. Man, did you watch the rest of the game? People just like to find reasons to go after Middleton, it seems like. Hey, the Bucks didn't win today, but they're going to win more games between now and the end of the postseason. And when the Bucks win, you win with Wendy's new breakfast. When the Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free sausage or bacon biscuit or a free small frosty chino with any breakfast purchase. I did that Saturday morning, got my free small frosty chino, and got the sausage biscuit to go along with it. Delicious! And the family had their frosty chinos. They loved it. So make sure to take advantage of it. When the Bucks win, you win with Wendy's new breakfast. And Wendy's offer is only good for 24 hours after each Bucks win. So you have to act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. All right, coming up next, I want to know from you. How important do you think Eric Bledsoe is to this team winning a championship? That's the question of the night for social media. Mayor Mitchell, throw it up there. How important do you think Bledsoe is to winning a championship? Because there seems to be plenty of you saying, boy, oh boy, if they would have had Bledsoe, maybe this would have been different. So just how important is he to you as a fan? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. This is your show. This is about interaction with the listeners. Calls, tweets, the whole deal. Let's hear from you after this on The Fan. Bucks lose 120 to 116. You're listening to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show, driven by Mercedes-Benz Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin studios here on The Fan.
Did that really just happen? It's time for the Are you kidding me? Moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing. Celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagner.com. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show. Driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. On The Fan.
All right, so the Bucks come up on the losing end tonight. 120 to 116 to the Houston Rockets. Giannis, of course, led the way for the Bucks. 36 points, 18 boards, 8 assists, a block, 3 turnovers. 27 for Middleton to go along with 12 boards. 23 for Lopez to go along with 12 boards. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Mayor Mitch Ross producing this fine show this evening. We'll have more conversation on this Bucks game from tonight and from Friday night as well. Tomorrow morning, Bart Winkler pregame show with Ryan Horvat from 5 to 6. And then from 6 until 10, Bart Winkler takes to the airwaves. Bill Michaels from 10 to 2. And then we're right back at it. Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler return tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to having those guys back. All right, time now for the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Sometimes there'll be positive moments, and sometimes it'll be this.
The Rockets have the lead.
Bucks had a one timeout, not going to use it on this possession.
Giannis wanted Korver, and Korver fouls House.
Now Giannis is going to get the turnover, and yes, he should. But I thought Kyle could have done a little bit better job, Jim, of moving up left toward the break line once Giannis had committed in the air.
Yeah, well, he was flat-footed. What are you going to do? I mean, I understand what Marcus Johnson is saying. I'm not really quite sure what. I mean, you're talking about real quick reaction there in order to pull that off the way he was saying, breaking down the baseline in order to get that done. So that is the "Are you kidding me?" moment of the game. Giannis turnover late in that one, held up in the air, and the couple of previous half-court possessions, the Bucks were shut down as well. How important do you think Eric Bledsoe is to this team winning a championship? That's the question on the table now. 414-799-1250. Still take your comments on the game, too. Northside Bob, you're next on The Fan. Good evening, Northside Bob.
Hey, thanks, Steve, for taking my call, man. And, hey, I know you really don't want to be there, but I know you love the Bucks, and I've been listening for a long time.
Rolling along, baby.
Yes. But, you know, man, look, I watched the game with a group of people tonight, and we did practice a little bit of the social distancing thing, but then we got in tense, and, you know, things happen like they are when you watch the Bucks game. But one of the things, man, that I still can't get, you know, I know we gave Middleton the contract, and I ain't going to bitch about that no more. Sorry about saying the B word.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's true. There's nothing we can do about it. You can't take the money away. It is what it is, and you move forward.
It is what it is.
Right.
But here's the thing. The Bucks have really got to look for somebody to take that big shot when it counts. There was a couple of times that Middleton had a big shot that you looking to like knock it down or take over the game. Giannis can do no more than what Giannis does. And in the playoffs, as it gets tighter, Giannis cannot do no more than what Giannis does. Tessa Giannis in for 30, 35, 15, 18, 6 rebounds, 13. Tips Jones did whatever you want to piss for me and all. But there needs to be somebody else. And we don't have that person on this roster that even got that confidence in themselves. Because Fullerton, she's got all the physical capabilities, but that man don't, he lacks confidence. And I'm going to shut it down, Spark, and you do what you do, man.
Okay, but let me ask you, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. So how do you build that confidence?
Unfortunately, it's something that Chris Middleton had to do for a long time. Man, if you look back at Chris Middleton, he's a second-round pick. He was traded from Detroit. He was a throw-in on the pick.
No. Hold on. Let me correct you, first of all. He was good in college, got hurt. Otherwise, he would have been a first-round pick. It wasn't technically a – I mean, it depends how you look at it. John Hammond explained it. He was literally the only player on the roster that would work – in the Jennings Brandon Knight deal. So he was literally the only guy that Dumars could throw in to make the deal work. According to Hammond, Dumars did not want to throw him in, but salary-wise, he was the only guy that could get the deal done.
Okay, Sparky, you're right about that.
Bucks got lucky on that one.
You're right about all that, but here's the thing. Spark, we got Giannis for a limited amount of time. And when I say limited, I think Giannis is going to sign an extension to go be with the Bucks.
Right.
But Chris Middleton contract prohibit growth going forward. We can't do nothing with that contract. He's not tradable. Nobody wants Chris Middleton for what he's worth. The only team they signed Chris Middleton for that deal was Milwaukee Bucks. I think we could have got better when it was time for us to make a deal to say, hey, you want to be here to play with the Bucks, you want to play with Giannis, or you want to test the market? Man, I think we can let him go to the market. And I think that is going to hinder the Bucks now and going forward because he just don't have the mentality of a closer. Giannis is going to need help.
But wait a second.
Where is that going to come from?
Hold on. If you have a superstar, if you have an MVP, why in the world does your second player have to be a closer? Shouldn't your MVP be this closer?
No, here's the thing. If your MVP taking over three quarters, maybe three and a half quarters, you need somebody at some time to hit a big shot. At some point, Giannis got to go to the bench for 5 to 6 minutes. We need somebody that can carry the weight for 5 or 6 minutes. Don't give me 27 minutes and over a game. Where's 48 minutes of the game and then you get free throws? Chris Middleton, his stats is always going to look good because Chris Middleton is a good player. But the salary cap and what we signed him for, we hamstruck ourselves.
All right. Thanks.
We can't win with it.
I got you, Northside Bob. All right. Thanks for the call. All right. So he clearly, but he said Middleton's a good player. He's just not willing to go down with the whole Middleton is a great player at this point for the amount of money that you're paying him. But again, this whole 90-50-40 club that everybody talks about and the elite guys in there, like Steph Curry, I believe, was the last one to get in there, Middleton is at 49.4% field goal percentage, 41.3% from three, 91% from the free throw line. In the pregame, I think it was pregame, Van Gundy on ABC put Middleton up into that class. Here you go. And then said, well, I know technically he's not at 50% from the field, but close enough for me. It's my graphic. I'll do what I want. He belongs in that club. That's the end of that. And these are all Hall of Famers. Everyone in this club is a Hall of Famer, every single one. And Middleton is right there knocking on the door trying to get into that club. Right there. Now, whether or not he will, don't know. I think Middleton is a good basketball player. If Middleton does what he did tonight in the Eastern Conference Final or the NBA Finals, Bucks will have every opportunity to win a basketball game. They will. He goes 27-12, or say 24-10, 24-8, something like that consistently in the playoffs, there'll be no need to be worried about Chris Middleton. He will have done his job. As I've stated before, all you need Middleton to do is play like how he played in the regular season. You shouldn't need Middleton to play over his head in the playoffs. During the season, Middleton averaged 21, 6 boards, 4 assists. He doubled the rebounds, outscored his points by 6, and had the assist average of 4. I understand people get frustrated with Middleton. I do. But this game was not on Chris Middleton. I'm sorry. You can dislike whoever you want, but this one is not Middleton's fault. The question, however, on the table right now is, and you can still talk about the evening one, how important is Eric Bledsoe to the Bucks winning a championship? JRH3 tweets at the fan, clearly, he was missed tonight. They need his on-ball defense and ability to get to the hoop. He is absolutely essential. Raise your hand if you thought at some point this year or last that you would hear anybody say Eric Bledsoe was absolutely essential to this team winning a championship, huh? Who would have thought you would have heard that? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Twitter is blowing up currently. So are the phone lines. Mayor Mitch answering the phones. While he does that, let's do this.
Was it a dunk? Was it a key basket in transition? Was it a spectacular play down the lane? It's time for the Wrench and Go Drive of the Game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest price auto parts around. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, drive of the game and a Bucks loss to the Houston Rockets, 120 to 116 here. As I said before, drive of the game, you can do it however you want. I like it as play of the game as well, however you want to phrase it. And in this one here, maybe one of my most favorite things I've heard Jim Paschke do in a while, right? One of my more favorite things I've heard Paschke do. There were, the ball was getting shot up, people were falling down, the ball was going from one player to the next. It was as sloppy as it gets on the Bucks' offensive side of the floor. Rockets deflecting it all over, Bucks hustling to get it back. It was seemingly going on forever, and then this happened.
They get the reset. Six on the timer, George Hill. Giannis double team. Westbrook plays for the steal. Marvin Williams.
Bucks getting every loose ball.
Lopez gets another one. Hit the three and end this thing. Yes, sir.
Good call, Martin.
I absolutely love it. That was the quote. I tweeted it out. Hit a three and end this thing. And Middleton delivers. Boom, right through the bottom of the net. That was the drive of the game today. 120 to 116, Rockets over the Milwaukee Bucks. Where are we going down to now? Carl in Allenton, Pennsylvania. You're next here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. What's up, Carl?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I didn't plan on talking about Bledsoe, but since you asked the question, I can talk about that. So we have to be careful when we clamor for Bledsoe when he's not playing, because what we're asking for is the Bledsoe that we like.
Correct.
The Bledsoe, yes. That you actually get. So, you know, the good comes with the bad, and
sure.
In my opinion, you know, obviously he hasn't proven that he's a good playoff performer yet. So I do agree that we probably need him to win the championship, but I don't. That's the Bledsoe that, you know, if he brings his A game, we can get there. But I don't see him bringing his A game because there's no proof that he's ever done that on a consistent basis.
And that is, you're absolutely right. That is what it is at the end of the day, right? Him being aggressive on both sides of the floor for full games, game after game after game.
Right.
And that's the one thing he hasn't really been able to put together. He'll put it together
right.
for a series or three or four games in a regular season, and then he goes back to playing in the shadows again on the offensive side of the floor.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But you do agree, though, if he's on his A game in a series, they're not going to get beat.
Yes, if he's on his A game, I believe. Well, we clearly will get to the final. I guess we can get to the final even without him.
Even without, yep. Yeah, I think
so. We're going to need his A game if they're going to beat either one of those L.A. teams.
Clippers or the Lakers. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Thanks for the call. And if you weren't listening, I hung up on him. Sorry about that, Carl. You must be streaming us, obviously, if you're in Pennsylvania on radio.com. So apologize. Call back Tuesday afternoon when the Bucks play again. But I said it the other night. Listen, if they get the Lakers, the Bucks, I feel pretty good. I mean, I know it's LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but as far as how the Bucks match up physically with what the Lakers want to do and how the Bucks are set up roster-wise, I'm good. Like, let's go. Let's see what happens. Clippers, they're going to shoot the three a little bit more, and this team isn't the best in the world at defending the three, as we all know. So that may be more tricky, and they're pretty deep, too. How critical is Bledsoe to winning this thing as a Bucks fan? For you, Johnny Moonlight tweets at the fan, depends how many shots he takes and shot quality in a given game. He's a huge asset defensively, but offensively can be detrimental. Again, for me now, and Johnny, you and I may disagree here, I just want him taking shots. Like, to me, just take the shots. Just be aggressive offensively and go. Because he can get to the rim. He can drive and kick. He can do so many different things for you. Is he a great three-point shooter? Absolutely not. We all know this. But he's working on it. He's been working on it since Budenholzer got here. But he does so many different things offensively that can free up Giannis and Middleton to not have to do everything. And right now, you don't have that other player from a playmaking ability on the floor with those two guys. You just don't. That person doesn't exist on this roster currently. I mean, you can hope upon a star that DiVincenzo can become that guy at some point. But right now, he's not there. 3 years, maybe 4 years, I don't know, maybe never. But right now, he's not that guy. Just not happening. All right, 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Rockets over the Bucks, 120 to 116. We'll hear from Coach Budenholzer coming up next here on the Pick 'n Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Doors and Windows of Wisconsin studios here on The Fan.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pick 'n Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, Bucks come up on the losing end tonight, 120 to 116. Nothing really to speak of injury-wise, just two guys trying to get back into shape coming off of their COVID quarantine outside of the bubble. Still awaiting the arrival of Pat Connaughton and Eric Bledsoe to a regular season game. They're both there, obviously, and practicing and trying to get themselves up into shape, but they have not seen regular game action yet. Bledsoe definitely could have been used tonight. I think Pat Connaughton, because of his athleticism and stuff, could have been used tonight as well. So Marvin Williams had been out with a groin injury. He returned tonight with 23 minutes of action at 4 points and 9 boards in his first regular season game in the bubble this evening, but not enough as the Bucks again lose 120 to 116. Steve Sparky Fiverr with you, Mayor Mitch Ross. Other side of the glass, and how about our defensive play of the game?
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick 'n Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
I'll tell you one thing. If this was the Rockets postgame show, you could have just strung together all the steals in the game off of the Bucks. It was a pick parade, pick in the pocket of every Bucks player in the first half. And down the lane and stripped. And down the lane and stripped. Down the lane and stripped. The whole first half. That's all it was. Just guys getting their pockets picked left and right. Giannis had his pocket picked a couple of times as well. It's absolutely amazing how quickly the hands were of the Houston Rockets players as they were stealing the ball left and right from the Milwaukee Bucks. So we unfortunately aren't doing the Rockets postgame show to make it easy for ourselves, but good thing we have Brook Lopez.
7:22 remaining in the first quarter. Give me that. Out of here, Lopez.
6 blocks the other night, Brook Lopez, number 2 in the league, 2.5 a game, and just great timing. I mean, he's not a guy that, you know, jumps to the top of the square, but he really does a great job reading and reacting to the basketball and then beating the offensive player to the spot where he wants to release it.
Brook Lopez with the defensive play of the game highlights all tonight, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Paschke and Marcus Johnson on the call, like always. In a Bucks loss this evening, and to hear what was said about the Bucks loss tonight, you always got to go to the Bucks head coach, and that would be Coach Budenholzer.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the Pick 'n Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, Bucks come up on the losing end tonight. I'm anxious. I've not heard this audio yet. Mayor Mitch got the Budenholzer audio, so I wasn't a part of it. So what I'm anxious to find out is, does anybody bring up to him about why not go more with Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez in the post and just beat the living tar out of those guys inside, right? Why not? I mean, the one drive, Giannis accidentally elbows the dude and then has to go get an ice pack for his jaw. Get out of here. So either way, so accidentally elbows the dude, and Mark Jackson's on the call on ABC. Oh, that's a flagrant. Da, 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 da. And God bless Van Gundy, because normally he's never nice to the Bucks. And he's like, dude, that's just an offensive foul. No, no, no. You can be elbowing guys. If that was the other way around, that would be a flagrant. Thankfully, it wasn't a flagrant. But that type of stuff with Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez, you're telling me they couldn't get their own shot in the post against a bunch of 6'7" guys, 6'8" guys? Of course they could have. Now, I know that's not the offense that Budenholzer runs. I understand. But again, when we always talk about postseason and making adjustments, anybody that plays this team, and they've got bigs, the quality of Brook and Robin Lopez, why wouldn't you throw the ball down there and let them work? Right? Why wouldn't that make sense? Makes sense to me. Yes, Mayor Mitch?
So apparently after the game, James Harden said...
Oh, Lord.
Somebody asked him about Giannis, and he just said, next question.
Good.
He's not taking Giannis questions. He's,
yeah, good
he's,
idea.
He's done.
Because he's sick of getting criticized every time he opens his mouth about Giannis. but that's fine. I mean, because, again, he feels like Giannis isn't in his league. Right? Because Giannis can't take the outside jumpers the way Harden can. Giannis doesn't have the handle that James Harden does. I get it. Like, I totally understand where James Harden is coming from. But James Harden doesn't have the length or the athleticism that Giannis does. He's not as quick as Giannis. Not even close. He doesn't have everything else. He's not the defender that Giannis is. That's not even close. So while, yes, Harden's a better shooter. Agreed. Yes, Harden has a better handle. As he should. He's a guard. Agreed. But then where do we go from there? What then is the argument for Harden after that? Giannis does everything else. So that's fine. Doesn't matter. I respect Harden. I think he's a really good, really, really good basketball player. Hall of Famer for sure, no doubt. And he can be better that he's not going to be the MVP again. He's not even in the final two conversation right now. All right, so here's Budenholzer. After the Bucks lost 120 to 116, let's see if anybody brings up maybe using the Lopez brothers a little bit more than he did.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, I think we'll take away from tonight. I think our execution, you know, our certainty of what we wanted to do wasn't where it needs to be, and that starts with me. So, you know, I think a lot of tonight's on me. You know, so it's good for our team. It's good for all of us. You know, I think a couple of possessions. We had a lot of success going to the post. So, you know, I think we were, I think, indecisive whether to play the post-up game or get Chris and Giannis into their game, and had a couple turnovers. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what killed us was, you know, turnovers, lack of execution down the stretch. So but I actually think that's a good thing for us to learn from, and we'll get better.
Matt Velasquez.
Yeah, bud, you mentioned the turnovers. What stood out to you? There's a stretch of three in a row, and you guys had four in the final 3 minutes. Just what stood out to you about those and how you guys can improve in the future?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think that we just weren't decisive, you know, with the ball, with what we were doing, you know, trying to play through the post and, you know, just feeding the post, different things like that. You know, and just they're physical. They do a good job of showing a crowd. They kind of attack the ball. They're aggressive to the ball. And, you know, so they were better than us down the stretch on both ends of the court. So, you know, they deserve to win.
Eric Woodyard. Eric.
Coach, on a night like tonight, you know, where you're playing a physical team, obviously Westbrook at the point guard, how much are you missing a guy like Bledsoe really at that role to defend him in the way that Bled defends?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's Eric's such a big part of what we do on both ends of the court. Another guy that can attack, another guy that can play through physicality and contact. And, you know, we feel like could collapse the defense. So, and defensively, what he does is so special. He can guard lots of different guys and do different things. So, certainly we miss him. But, you know, I think they miss Eric Gordon. He's a big part of their offense, a big part of what they do. You know, so I think, you know, we miss Bled, certainly. But, you know, we got to be better, you know, without him.
Kane Pittman.
Hey, bud. We know the way the Rockets play, and they're going to get up a lot of threes. 61 threes is kind of an insane number. What did you think about the discipline defensively tonight, particularly when it came to the corners and helping there? What did you see defensively with those threes?
I thought the guys followed the game plan excellent. You know, I think they're such a good team. Harden is just, you know, a pretty incredible individual talent. You know, and Westbrook on top of that. So overall, I think the team defense, the team commitment, and following kind of, you know, a lot of what we wanted to do. It's never perfect. But I think, you know, I think Harden at 24 or something like that doesn't happen very often. So, you know, credit to their players. You know, they hit enough threes to beat us. They created enough turnovers to beat us. They got some free throws late that are on us. You know, we got to keep them off the free throw line late in the game. You know, so I think, you know, that's what they're going to do. We're going to take away the paint. And, you know, they got us tonight.
Zora Stevenson.
Coach, I know you talked about some of the uncertainty down the stretch, but for most of the game, I mean, going to the paint was really working for you all, 60 points in the paint. How much do you think you all took advantage of those mismatches down low with the small ball?
Yeah, I thought Brooke was great. You know, Brooke had a lot of really, you know, strong finishes. You know, Giannis with, you know, lots of opportunities and finishing in the paint. You know, different guys getting there. So, you know, certainly, you know, that's a strength of ours. And there were a lot of positives, you know, how we were able to attack and play through the post and score. And so, you know, we'll look at both.
Ferdinand Rivera.
Hi, Coach. How hard is it to defend the Houston small ball?
Any team that has James Harden on it, I think, is where it starts. You can put almost any other four guys you want out there. You know, so certainly they do a great job. Harden's a great player. Westbrook, a great player. Mike D'Antoni, you know, an offensive, you know, very, very creative. So, you know, certainly they're difficult to guard.
Last one to Eric Name.
Dante and George have been so sure-handed throughout this season, filling in for Bledsoe. And tonight they have 8 turnovers. I think George only had a couple points. Just what did you see from those two that they were struggling so much tonight?
I don't think anything specific. You know, I'm sure both of them feel like they can play better and give us more. You know, we'll look at the film. But like you said, George and Dante have been phenomenal for us. And, you know, I think they got to – you know, maybe be more aggressive. Sometimes it's hard when you play with, you know, players like, you know, Giannis and Chris and Brooke and those guys. Sometimes you got to remember to be aggressive and play through pressure and things like that. So, but, you know, I think they'll both, you know, especially Dante will learn from it. He'll grow from tonight. He'll be better.
Wesley had that three late, that it was kind of a quick three early in a possession. Is that a spot where you want to slow down a little bit there, or is that – just how the game was going, it felt like in those moments, the final couple minutes, you're a little bit scattered, I guess.
The three coming off the DHO is one that I remember, and we ended up getting the offensive board. So, you know, I think the initial action was guarded, and we didn't get anything out of the initial action. And Giannis went into a DHO with Wes out of the corner, and he came off aggressive and let it fly. It didn't feel like it was early in the clock to me. I thought we had some kind of action that didn't really get us anything. And so him coming off and being confident and letting it fly, I think that's a good three. So unless there's another one that I'm forgetting, you know, I think, you know, everybody's got to be aggressive and confident.
There is Coach Budenholzer after the Bucks lose tonight to the Houston Rockets. Technically, their first road game in the bubble, even though technically, I mean, realistically, there is no road game. But 120-116 Rockets over your Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Your Chevy MVP of the game tonight. Find what's next. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDrivesChevy.com. Your Chevy MVP tonight. Yes. We'll give it to Giannis. 14 of 25, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 9 from the free throw line, 36 points, 18 boards, 8 assists, a block, and 3 turnovers. This comes from @StatMuse on Twitter. And this just has a ton of stats and so forth in this account. It's got like 67,000 followers. If you don't follow it, you should. It's a good Twitter follow. Most games with 30 points, 15 rebounds by a player in a season since 1983. Charles Barkley did it 15 times in the 87-88 season. Shaquille O'Neal did it 15 times in the 94-95 season. Shaquille O'Neal did it 16 times in the 93-94 season. Shaquille O'Neal did it 18 times in the 99-2000 season. And now Giannis has done it 19 times this season with still six basketball games to go. Yes, Mayor Mitch.
Another stat coming in from the Elias Sports Bureau. You may have heard of them before.
I have heard of them, yes.
The Bucks are the first team in NBA history to lose a game in which they scored 110 points. They scored 116. Held the opponent under 40% shooting, 39.6% tonight from Houston, and had a plus 25 rebound differential. They had a plus 29.
Yeah, almost 30
for Milwaukee.
Rebounds.
Those teams are now 177-1 all time.
Sidney Moncrief said that earlier that, yeah, I don't really put a lot of stock into rebounding. We've seen games where teams have gotten out-rebounded and lost. Yeah, but have we seen games where teams have gotten out-rebounded by 29 and lost? I mean, that is a huge freaking number. Now, to that same point, I can't say I've seen a game where a team has shot 61 threes in a game. They took 91 shots in the game, the Rockets. 61 of them were for three. You just don't see that every day.
Yeah.
And that's with the NBA becoming a three-point shooting league. You still don't see that big of a number, Mayor Mitch.
True, but the Rockets know that the Bucks pack the paint.
Of course.
And they, I mean, I hate that term because teams do it against the Bucks, but the Bucks guard the rim.
Yes, very, very well.
At sometimes to their, you know, to their downfall.
But that's why, like we talked about.
So Houston knows they're going to come in and spread the floor. That's what they do now.
Right, but that's why when we start talking about matchups, Lakers or Clippers, that's why the Lakers make sense. They don't shoot threes. So from that perspective, it's a great matchup for the Bucks.
In fact,
Clippers will shoot some more threes than the Lakers.
I would say the Rockets and the Bucks are almost the same team offensively. It's just that instead of the ball being in Harden's hands, it's in Giannis's hands. It's spread the court.
Yeah,
Brooke,
to a degree.
Robin, whoever playing center, standing in the corner.
Yeah.
Middleton, maybe off to the side. You know, Wes Matthews, Kyle Korver, whoever's your shooter, is kind of moving around trying to get open. And they're just trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, 1985 New York Knicks.
No. The NBA
I mean,
in general
and
is not
the Rockets
that anymore.
Are the same thing. It's just Harden and or Westbrook trying to drive and kick.
Let's go hear from the MVP of the game, Giannis.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside.
I did that in game one, too. I keep saying it's seeing inside, thinking it's inside the clubhouse or inside the locker room, and it's not. All right, inside the locker room tonight, brought to you by Granville Business Improvement District. The Granville Connection is opening soon. Go to granvillebusiness.org to see how your small business can be a part of it. And with that, now we can listen to Giannis from this evening.
No, I'm just trying to go fast. You know, I saw Harden guarding me, sending me towards the baseline. Then I saw PJ Tucker coming, so I was like, okay, somebody's going to be open. But when I was in the air, I saw from my side view that Brook cut. I didn't see George. George was under the basket. He was wide open, and I saw Kyle in the corner. So I tried to throw it to Kyle, but my pass was not accurate. It was too slow. So I got a turnover.
It felt like that possession was kind of similar to your other possessions late in the game. You guys are just a little bit discombobulated, a little disorganized. Just what do you feel happened in the final couple minutes?
No, we just got to be on the same page. It's kind of hard. I feel like we were doing something that worked the whole game and was posting up Brook or getting me in the high post. But, you know, I think Brook got tired. I got tired. It wasn't organized. We tried to run high pick and roll. He was trying to run high pick and roll, but I was yelling post Brook. So it was just not organized. And usually, maybe up 6, 2 minutes to go, we usually close the game up, but we didn't do it today. So we got to learn from it. This is a great game to learn from and got to keep moving.
Eric Woodyard.
So, Giannis, obviously, you know, you guys started with the restart, you know, 1-1 in the restart. But before that, you know, you guys was altogether 2-5. Do you look at anything as the season is getting, you know, getting down to the seriousness of it? Just do you pay attention to the record within the last 7 games or is that just y'all want to improve?
Obviously, we pay attention to the record. We want to finish with the best record possible.
we're winners, not to win games, and we want to have a great season. Came here, and then we step on the floor, we try to win. But at the end of the day, we got to improve with each game. You know, win or lose, we got to improve. We got to get ourselves ready to play good basketball when it's needed the most. Obviously, we are down with Fletcher's not playing, Pat's not playing. So when they come back, it's going to be a lot easier, a lot more energy. But at the end of the day, we got to get better each day. We got to get in shape. We got to play good basketball. We got to give teams all that we're capable of. And when it matters the most, we got to be ready. We got to play the best basketball we can play.
Thor Stevenson.
Most of this season, you all have beaten teams by double digits. So now that you're getting close to the playoffs, how valuable are these time score situations where you can get experience as time is winding down and you need a score?
You know, obviously it's really nice, amazing to beat teams by 10, by 20, by 30. But at the end of the day, I feel like we learn. As I said earlier, we learn from this. You know, it's good to play close games. We don't play a lot of close games in the other 65 games that we played. So got to keep learning, got to keep executing. And at the end of the game, we were able to do that in the first game, wasn't able to do it in the second game. We got to be able to, you know, be consistent and do it every night. And the most important thing, we got to, you know, get shots. We can't turn the ball over. We got to find the open man and get shots up.
There is Giannis from earlier tonight, and you're listening to the Pick and Save Fro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin studios. Bucks come up on the losing end tonight to the Houston Rockets, 120-116. Giannis leads the way with 36 points, 18 boards, and 8 assists, 27-12 for Middleton, 23-12 for Brooke Lopez. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us next.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola. Divorce, child custody, or any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, Bucks come up on the losing end tonight to the Houston Rockets, 120-116. Joining us now, Matt Velasquez from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Matt, your thoughts on what you saw tonight?
You know, I think turnovers were a big deal. 23 turnovers leading to 30 points in a stretch there of about a minute and a half toward the end of the game where it was turnover, turnover, turnover. That was the game. The Bucks can maybe, you know, calm themselves down, play a little bit more together. They looked kind of discombobulated, not just at the end, but at a lot of points in the game, especially, you know, first quarter, you know, into the second, and definitely in the fourth. I think that's what stood out most to me. Definitely seemed like they missed Eric Bledsoe tonight, definitely missed Pat Connaughton a little bit tonight. You know, Dante DiVincenzo and George Hill wasn't their best game. Yet, despite all of that, the Bucks still very much had a chance to win.
You know, interesting. Got a tweet here, an email here, live at 105.7 FM, The Fan, talking about Eric Bledsoe. And David says, people who act like the Bledsoe is a major liability and shooting efficiency are delusional. And he talks about Bledsoe, pretty sure he's in the top 100 amongst, 500 or so total players. When we talk about Eric Bledsoe, do you think he's undervalued by Bucks fans as far as his importance to this team?
I think sometimes that's true. I think, you know, there are times where people, you know, pay too much attention or focus too specifically on the Toronto series last year, in which Bledsoe wasn't very good. And he wasn't the only one who wasn't very good. And so, you know, there's also the Boston series in the playoffs 2 years ago. You know, so those playoff, you know, deficiencies or those series where he didn't show up the way people might have expected, you know, those loom large, and I guess rightfully so. But I think there's also, you know, merit to the things he's done in the regular seasons the past 2 years. The fact that he was an all-defensive player last year, and he had a bunch of you know, really big moments where his ability to drive and get to the rim and orchestrate on offense and even make a few clutch shots was big last year. And the same is true for this year. He could definitely be an all defensive player this year on one of the two teams. And he has been, I think, even better this year when it comes to his decision making and his ability to get to the lane and score. So, I think he can be undervalued at times. And you just look at the matchups too. Like, usually you'd have, you know, Wesley Matthews and Eric Bledsoe starting out the game on, you know, Harden and Westbrook in some combination. But instead, you know, you have Dante on Russell Westbrook at the start of the game. That's, you know, as good as Dante's been on defense, I don't think he's physically ready for a guy like Russ. And you saw that eventually Bud had to kind of cycle through and put DJ Wilson on Russ for a few minutes just to try and do something different. And I don't think that happens if Eric Bledsoe's in the lineup. So I guess that's a long answer saying, yes, I think people do undervalue Eric Bledsoe and what he means to this team at certain times.
Because we were talking about, you know, Bledsoe and how big of a difference that could have made tonight. And then in the post-game press conference, Budenholzer talked about the fact that they didn't have Eric Gordon. And that would have made a huge difference for the Houston Rockets. And that's very true. The other thing that's been brought up, and I think rightfully so, why not pound the ball more to the Lopez brothers when you have the size differential that you have between the Bucks and the small ball Rockets?
I think they eventually tried to. You know, they got to that point in the second half where it was, okay, let's get the ball to Brook, let's get him in the post. Let's get it there in a way that we're not forcing it and we're not making bad decisions. I think that's kind of the mentality that the Bucks had. And Giannis made mention of it, you know, in his post-game press conference, saying that he thought that Brook got tired and that he got tired. Like, those are the two guys who are going to do the most work, you know, down in the post, down in the paint, you know, who it takes a lot of physicality, it takes a toll on you. And he thought that both he and Brook got tired. And that as they tried to close out that game or the final few minutes, they couldn't get to that. They couldn't execute that the way they wanted to. And part of that was, you know, their tiredness. And part of it was the ball just never really got there. Chris Middleton had a pass to Brook that missed. And George Hill drove the lane and lost it and stumbled. They just kind of, you know, came apart at the seams after what looked like, you know, a pivotal play where Middleton made that three to put him up eight. You know, but after that, they just couldn't finish.
Thanks so much for coming on, Matt Velasquez. We'll talk to you again Tuesday. It'll be the big show meets this show. So we'll have Gary and Leroy with me as well after Bucks and Nets on Tuesday afternoon.
That'll be wonderful. Can't wait.
Sounds good. Have fun. There he is, Matt Velasquez. Joining us in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline as our passion outgrown your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Bucks come up on the losing end tonight, 120-116. As I said, Brooklyn Nets Tuesday. We'll be right back here doing this fine, fine show again. Tomorrow morning, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, joins Bart Winkler at 9 o'clock. Mike Clemens will join the Bill Michaels Show tomorrow afternoon at 1:20. And then Gary and Leroy return to the Wendy's Big Show at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your night. Bucks lose 120-116. It's been the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. CBS Sports Radio up next. Toodles!
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.